It's Wednesday morning, about 10:30, and I'm sitting in the garden reading Colossians. I pause. The birds are noisy. The traffic is really quiet. As I look up, there's just one aeroplane contrail staining the pure blue sky. Oh yes, we humans, we love to travel, don't we? We build huge planes and fly across the world. But we've been brought to a virtual standstill by this microscopic virus. 1/10,000th of a millimetre, just a little ball of RNA. Well, I look up and the sun's hot on my face, very hot. And yet it is 93 million miles away. We too live in an astonishing universe, don't we? But as I sit, I don't just see and hear things. I think, I wonder, I reflect. Oh, nothing terribly complex or profound. I'm a bear of small brain. But I have to ask questions. And the answers? Well, I came indoors and thought I'd look at a humanist website to see if they had any answers. But all I found was that we find meaning by asking questions and then use science to answer them. And of course, science does answer some of our questions. It describes and classifies the plants and the animals. It measures the tiniest virus and the vast distances to the sun. But when it comes to origins or meaning or purpose or identity or destiny, well, sometime time began. And somewhere, when there was nowhere, everything came from nothing. So all the scientific rules began when all the scientific rules were broken. And scientific research? Well, it's a random event or an accident investigating a series of random events and accidents. And when you think of it like that, if that's the philosophy that drives us, that undergirds life, well, there's no security, no meaningful identity in randomness and accidents. So what's the point of all this joy and beauty of love and suffering? And what is death? So we turn to scripture and we find that it does more than merely ask, describe and measure. Scripture probes. It sees behind the observable. It begins to answer the significant questions and reveals what we really need to know. It deals with real life, our emotions, passions, desires, our love and our hate, hope and disappointment, moral issues, life, creation, sickness, death, justice, hell, eternal life. They're all there. Yeah, I know some Christians have offered stupid, simplistic, harsh answers to some of these issues. But if we allow God's word to speak for itself, if we read and listen carefully and intelligently, we begin to hear answers to those questions in all their complexity, their difficulty, their pain and their joy. No, they're not simple answers. They're not trite. They're not cliches, nor are they rigid, but they're nuanced, genuine, and real life answers in scripture. And this is the spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we heard about last week. This is what enables us to live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him in every way. Scripture is God's strength and power that gives us endurance and patience. This is the gospel that rescues us from the darkness of ignorance and godless despair. Of course, the Atheist humanist says that we create God in our imagination. And in that, they're partly right. Because we all do create our own idols and gods. We all worship and serve something. Even the atheists do that. But the gods we create cannot speak or act or love or judge. They cannot answer any questions. They will not die for us. And they certainly won't raise us from death. But in Scripture, we meet the God who is deeply personal, because he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see the God who not only experiences perfect love, but is love. We can even argue with him if we want to, but we'll never outwit him. But who is this invisible God? He's the God who brings us out of hopeless ignorance, who rescues us from that dark dominion and qualifies us for new life in the kingdom of his Son. And this Son, who is he? Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. When we look at Jesus, we see God. When we know Jesus, we know God. His character and nature is right there before us. When the Son of God came to earth, he took on the form of man. The Creator entered his creation. But he didn't cease to be God. No, not for a moment. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And when he calmed storms with just a word, he demonstrated that divine power and authority over all creation. Because he is the firstborn over all creation. Yeah, that sounds a bit odd to us, doesn't it? But in Bible times, the firstborn child was the one with authority and a special place in the Father's love. Here in Colossians, it shows Jesus' authority over all creation. He existed before creation because by him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In my short lifetime, we've heard that humanity is threatened with total destruction by nuclear war, climate change, pollution, and now pandemic. Each of these, in their own time and in their own way, have caused anxiety and fear. But while humans have killed one another in their millions, damaged the land, the sea and its wildlife, been threatened by pandemic disease, we know that all things were made through the Son of God, are held together by him and exist for him. Now, of course, that raises questions. And if Scripture doesn't have clear, simple answers, it's because the answers are not simple. But at least there are some answers, if we can be bothered to read, to find out, to listen. But here's the thing for today. We don't need to fear in the way that the rest of mankind fears. We know the one who has all things and all people in the palm of his hand. We are in the palm of his hand. We know the Son. We know the one who created all of this, and we know his love and his care. We know his plan and our future. And we know that the Son has a particular concern and authority over his own people, those the Father has qualified for his kingdom. For Christ is the head of his body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Our faith and trust in Christ the Son is challenged when we perceive a threat to our health, our happiness, or our life. And I know that many of you are fearful and anxious in the midst of this pandemic. It's unnerving, isn't it, to go to a supermarket and see the warning signs, the tape on the floor, the sanitizers, the staff wearing masks and face shields, and the shoppers all warily looking around to see if anyone's getting too close. And when we do meet someone we love, we have to be careful to keep our distance. We're scared that we might be infected or might infect them. But Scripture tells us we belong to Christ the Son. How do we say that, though, in a way that we really appreciate the security and acceptance that it brings us? We are the church, the assembly, the coming together of all those he has rescued. But even that's not enough, is it? In our fear, we need a stronger picture. And that's what we're given here. We are his body, and Christ is the head of the body. Now we're safe, aren't we? Now we're safe because his body, yes, was killed, but God raised him and he became the firstborn from the dead. There's that word again, firstborn. So we are the body of the absolute and supreme head, the one with all authority. And nothing can separate us from him, not climate change, nor COVID-19. Even if we die, we remain his. And so, when you lie awake at night, when anxiety sweeps over you as you walk into Tesco, when you worry about your loved one working in the hospital or at the care home, remember this. You and your brothers and sisters in Christ are his body. Christ the Son, the one who created all things and sustains all things, is your head. You were made by him and for him. You are one with him. You are his body. He is your head. He will not let you go. You are secure in him now and forever, whatever circumstances come your way. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ your Son. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that he is the firstborn over all creation. We thank you that all things were created for him and by him. And we thank you that he is the head of his body, the church, and that by your grace, through your mercy, you have made us to be a part of his body, a member of his body. And we thank you, therefore, Father, that we are secure in him and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, your Son. Amen.